Before I get started this morning, I wanted to mention this is kind of a devotional for next week. Starting today, matter of fact. This week coming up is called Holy Week, and so want to just encourage you to take one of these. They should be out there on the table. I did not write it. I read through it, and I was both encouraged and challenged, so I'm passing that along to you. I think there will be maybe a few things that you can learn through that, and it will also challenge you. And so I wanted to make mention of that. Also wanted to thank everyone who donated candy, and I want to thank everyone who came Wednesday night to help us fill Easter eggs. We were able to knock it out of the park. And so we just appreciate all the help. I counted 62 people in there filling eggs. And so, thanks for all the help. So God is good, isn't he? That's right. Well, today is Palm Sunday. I'm gonna kind of start out with a story this morning because I think that it helps us to get to where I want to head this morning. We're going to look at the account in Matthew. Matter of fact, Charlie read some of that a little earlier. And so this story is a personal story, and it happened to me approximately a month ago. When it was starting to get real cold and we knew that the snow was coming, it was real cold and windy this particular morning. My alternator went out on my truck. And so I thought it was just a battery at first, so I replaced the battery and it's still doing the same thing. And so they tested my alternator. It needed to be replaced, so got an alternator, got home. My dad came to help me. Praise God. And we spent hours trying to get to the part. I had another truck. It was like right on top, 15 minutes, you're out of there. This one was not that way. And I was getting whooped. Okay? We had to remove several things out of the way so that I could even get to it, to reach it, to undo the bolts that were holding the alternator in place. Here it's taken us several hours to do all that, and then I finally get to the parts. There's like two bolts in particular. One of those was so difficult to get. I stripped the head off, and I was not able to get it. I was not able to get it loose, and so I wrestled with that for a couple of hours at least, and I'm starting to get discouraged, right? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You've been there, and you, whatever it might be, it doesn't look like it's going to happen, right? You start to lose a little bit of hope. And so we found out that it would cost about $450 to have it for a mechanic to replace just the labor part. I got hope again. You know what I'm saying? I got hope. My hope was I was going to save $450 by winning. Okay, so I think the Lord helped me. And so I wanted to just kind of tie that together this morning. We're going to look now at this account. Matter of fact, each one of the four Gospels, what are the four Gospels? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Each one of those has this account. They're all a touch different, but overall they're the same. I'm going to mention two, if not three of them this morning. Primarily, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 21. So turn there with me. Matthew chapter 21. We're going to start in verse 1. And we're going to look through what happened on this day that we call Palm Sunday. We already got the our little palm branches out, right? Here in verse 1, it starts out, see, the disciples were headed, Jesus was headed to Jerusalem. He did not stay in Jerusalem I don't know that he ever stayed in Jerusalem. He would go and visit, and then he would leave. Okay, so that's what has happened. He's going. He is, and his disciples are headed back to Jerusalem, and on the way, Jesus tells two of his disciples. He says, "Hey, I need you two. You guys need you to go over here to this village, and when you get there, you're gonna see a donkey with a colt. I need you to bring those to me." Jesus, are you want me to steal them? No. Jesus, matter of fact, he went on to say, hey, somebody's going to ask you, hey, what are you doing with those? You're to tell them that the Lord needs it. The Lord needs them, and they'll let you take them. And that's exactly what happens. So these two disciples, they go over, hey, what are you guys doing with those animals? Oh, the Lord needs them. Oh, okay, have a great day. That's just weird. But what does it prove? I think it proves that God is the God of the heart. Because God was working in the heart of the owner of those animals before they even got there. I think that God probably gave that animal owner a heads up. Because otherwise, why are you going to let somebody take your donkey and your colt? That's kind of like somebody taking your wheelbarrow. Or your truck. Oh, yeah, I don't need it. If it's broke, yeah. It needs a new alternator. So they go in and they bring the donkey and this colt. And then what do the disciples do? A few of them take off their outer robe and they place it on the colt. And Matthew is interesting. Right here, it says in verse 5, Matthew is real good about helping the reader, his audience, understand where this stuff comes from out of the Old Testament. Okay, and so here Matthew is saying, hey guys, this is what happened. Jesus said, tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey's colt. Okay, see, this was an Old Testament prophecy about who? Messiah. Who is Jesus? Messiah is that anointed one, that one that they were awaiting, this person that was coming, the Son of God that was supposed to come, and he was going to deliver God's people, right? And that's who they were looking forward to. And then Matthew, here in this story, writes it. And of course, he's writing it after it's happened. So then he has the understanding that, hey, that's what was going on. And so Jesus was helping them to understand, guys, this is what was prophesied about. See, and they threw their garments on this colt so Jesus could ride into town. Now, notice it said the word humble there because it was a colt. One that had never been ridden before. Not some large, strong stallion, war horse. It was a little donkey, little colt that didn't really know what to do when people got on him. Signifying that Jesus was that humble king. Not weak king, but humble. He didn't go around tooting his own horn. But he let the people do it, which we're getting ready to see. So then he's riding into town. Now you see, you have to understand that in one of the Gospels, I'm forgetting which one it is right now, forgive me. One of the Gospels, it mentioned... I believe it was John, mentioned that there was a lot of people. A lot of people were there as Jesus was. They heard that he was riding into town. And so many people came out. I believe that Charlie used in the version that he read, a great multitude. Is that what you had read earlier? A great multitude. So there's a whole bunch of people. Now, John, I believe it was, mentions that there was a lot of people because they had... Jesus had just raised Lazarus from the dead. Okay? Wouldn't you think that would be a sign of this guy is for real? It wasn't that he fell and hurt himself and just died. He died 3 or 4 days before Jesus got there. Anybody remember that story? Oh, but Jesus, he stinketh. In other words, he's decaying, right? He's decaying. And so we have, and there were, John tells us that there was a lot of people that came out to check this out because of all the miracles that Jesus did. And can't you see that? Because how interesting is it when you kind of hear about this guy who says these incredible, amazing things, and then he does more incredible things by feeding 5,000 here or there and raising the dead, healing the blind, casting out evil spirits. Don't you want to go check out what he's going to do next? Absolutely. Except that they didn't know what was next about 5 days later. But on this day, Palm Sunday, he's riding into town. In verse 8, most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him. Okay, so they would take some of their outfit and they would throw it on the robe. Anybody have a jacket or something they want to throw out? Just kidding. I don't need it. But they would do that they did that for Christ. And was it just so they'd get their garment dirty? Well, no. It was to say, man, you're somebody of honor. You're somebody important. Little did they know, right? They did have a clue, though. They did have a clue. And the King of Glory, the King of Kings, was riding into town. And so they were throwing their garments out on the, and some would even go and get the palm branches. And they would cut those down. And maybe they didn't have a garment to throw down, but they wanted to be a part, and they would throw that in front so that Jesus and his colt would walk on that instead of on the dirty ground. See how much honor that was putting on them, on Christ? They were praising God. Verse 9, Jesus was in the center of the procession, and all the people around him were shouting. Shouting. This was a big deal. Jesus is coming in as a king. Now, a lowly king, mind you, but the greatest king ever. Has there ever been another king with as much power or authority? But our Jesus comes in on this little colt saying, I don't have to prove to you all by what I'm riding. I created it. And I created the ones that any other kings ride. Whoa. This mind-blowing when you think about it, really. He was at the center and everybody was shouting. What were they shouting on verse 10? It's not verse 10. It's continuation of verse 9. They were shouting, praise God for the Son of David. Whoa, time out. See, that's how they understood. They understood the Son of David referred to that Messiah, that coming king. So they had a hunch. And we already know that Peter, when Jesus asked his disciples, hey, who do people say that I am? Well, you know, some say that you're Elijah, some say you're one of the other prophets. And Peter pipes up and he says, I know who you are. You're the Son of God. And Jesus said to Peter, blessed are you, Peter, because the Father has revealed this to you. They already had a hunch. And now it's becoming more apparent. And now they're seeing their king ride into town like a king. Their leader ride into town like a king. And so, yeah, they're throwing those garments on. They're throwing their palm branches down again, saying, woo, you're the guy. The word Hosanna is a word that means save us. It's a word of praise. It's a word of, God, we need you to deliver us. You're the one. Praise God for the Son of David. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Isn't that awesome? Praise God in highest heaven. They were shouting this stuff. they were shouting this. Can you picture it? Can you imagine all the hoopla? And rightly so. I don't think they should have backed down. I don't think they should have been quiet. And some were asking, as Charlie mentioned earlier, some were asking, who is this guy? They had only heard about him until then. They'd only heard about him. Maybe they weren't able physically to get out and see some of the things that Jesus had done. If Jesus fed 5,000 men at one point, it was possible that some of them were there, don't you think? Who is this guy? And they were in reality telling him, praise God, blessed be the Son of David, right? And so they're proclaiming that as they're and shouting it loudly. People all over the city, even if they're not out there watching, they can hear it. Powerful, and it's important because Jesus is the King of Kings. And what I see in this story is that the people had hope. See, the people had hope in someone whose name was Jesus, who was the Son of David, the Son of God. They placed their hope in him. We do the same. We do the same today. We place our hope in Jesus because he is the Savior of the world. You know what? He's the hope of the whole entire world. It's not any other person, political or otherwise. It's Jesus, the only hope of the world. Because what can anyone else do for us? If they can do anything for us, it'd probably only be temporary. But what Jesus did is eternal. Where's your hope today? Is your hope in Christ? He's wonderful. He's incredible. He's worthy of our praise. Who is this? And that verse 10 says that the entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as Jesus entered it. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. I look at that as, I think it was definitely a positive thing, but I think in ways it was also negative, that word uproar. Because some were asking, like, what's going on? Who's this guy? He's not anybody important. But then in Luke chapter 19, Luke's account of this, He gives us something else here. Luke chapter 19, verse 39, Luke said, in Luke's writing, it says, but some of the Pharisees among the crowd said, teacher, rebuke your followers for saying things like that. That he was the Son of David, that he was the coming Messiah. The one that they were looking for. The Pharisees said, hey, Jesus, you need to rebuke them for saying that. You need to stop them from saying that. You know what? There's going to be some religious people in your life that are going to tell, hush. Oh, settle down. You just settle down. Pick your garment back up and put it on. Make up your mind today that you're not going to be one of those religious people. You know who Jesus had the hardest time with? The religious people. The people who were humble, like Jesus, they could take it and they could grow out of it. But the religious people were prideful. Jesus butted heads with them all the time. Jesus, you need to tell them to be quiet. They don't need to be saying things like that. When somebody gets blessed in a service and they're laughing out loud, they're rejoicing, they're dancing, they've got their hands raised, they're crying, it doesn't matter. You know what? Guard your heart so you don't have a religious heart, a religious spirit, and you just say, oh, Lord, that's awesome. Lord, keep that going. Keep it up, Lord. Fan that. Lord, may it spread to me too. That's what was going on in the city that day. It just kept growing. What's going on? I hear some commotion. What's going on? And they go out and they check it out. Oh, wow. I've been wanting to see Jesus. I've been wanting to meet this guy. Oh, Jesus, you need to tell your people to be quiet. What does Jesus say? In the next verse, verse 40. He said, hey, listen, y'all, if they keep quiet, the stones along the road will burst into cheers. If they don't do it, the rocks are going to cry out because I'm worthy of praise. I created everything. I knit you in your mother's womb. Wasn't Jesus there when that happened? Absolutely. He was there when everything was created. Colossians, look through that chapter. Look through that book of Colossians, the New Testament. It tells us that Jesus was there in all of it. No, Jesus said, you just keep it coming. You keep it coming. Because Jesus knew that praise is a very, very important part of life. Praise is very important to our spiritual walk. Otherwise, we just keep it bottled up. And that is no good. Where's your hope today? Where's your hope today? Is your hope in the one who even rocks would praise? Or have you gotten your hope off of Christ and onto other things? Even just a little bit. Again, Jesus has got to be the center. He's got to be the center of it all. He's the one who gives hope. And like I mentioned earlier in my story about my truck, I realized, oh man, I have to fix this. Otherwise, I have to fork out $450. I wasn't willing to do that. And I'm not willing for a rock to do my job. I'm not willing. My hope is in Christ. And you know what? It is easy for our focus to get off, even just a little bit. But you know what? Just a little bit in a long distance is a lot. So refocus today. Recenter. Let's get our hope on Christ. And let's not worry about what those religious people say. Don't want to be a religious person. I want to be a lover of Jesus and a follower of him. And so let us be encouraged today. Let us reevaluate our hope and make sure that it's in Christ. He's the greatest thing that could ever happen to us. He is the only one who can save us. Save us from what? Really, ourselves. Right? Sin? Hell? Jesus is the one who saves us. So today we say Hosanna, right? Today we say praise God. Where did my palm branch go? Today we say, yes, Lord. Today we say, I'm not going to be a religious person. Lord, I'm going to be a worshiper. I'm going to be one who praises you, right? Yes. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your word. Help us, God, to not be religious or to allow the religious to dictate our lives. Instead, may we allow you to do that. You are the giver of hope, no matter what our circumstances. And so today, Lord Jesus, we look to you. You are the one who saves us, and we are eternally grateful. Lord, if any one of us is off just a little bit on our hope, that we've found other things to place our hope in, forgive us and help us to recenter today. We want you and nothing else. I love you today, Lord. I give you praise. You are our King. May we allow you to be the king of our hearts. We place our hope in you. Because, God, you're not finished yet. Oh, the book is still being written. And so, Lord, we just want to align ourselves with you today and allow you to do what you want to do. Because you are not finished with your church. You are not finished with your kids. So, Holy Spirit, would you rise up in each one of us and help us to give you praise. Help us to seek your face. Help us, oh God, to point others to Christ. And that when other people say, who is that? Who is this Jesus that I hear about? That we will have an answer. That we will be able to respond to them and to communicate the truth of your word clearly to them so that they might be born again. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your precious Holy Spirit. We thank you, God, for you moving and working in our lives. We thank you, God, for these accounts that are written in your word. You're so good. And Lord, today we place our hope in you because that's where it belongs. You created us, and you deserve our praise, our worship, and our whole life. So today, Lord, we give it to you. We give you our praise. We honor you in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I'm going to ask you to do something. Get out of your comfort zone. Take your palm branch, stand up, and clear your throat. That wasn't the part I was asking you to do. That was just leading up to the part, right? Can you put that scripture on there that they said? I want to say it was verse like 9 or 10. We're gonna say, you know, Hosanna, praise God. Okay, I was wrong. Maybe the verse before that. There we go. Just simply praise God. Praise God. And maybe tell him something you're thankful for today. So, can you do it? Raise your hand up. Raise your palm branch up. Now raise your voice. Thank you, Father. We give you the praise. We honor you in this place. You are the Lord, the King of glory. You're the King of our hearts. We honor you in this place, God. Thank you. We give you praise. Lord, no rocks are going to praise you for me. We're going to do it on our own. We do it with our own will, our own accord. We worship you today, Lord. There's none like you. Hosanna in the highest. Oh, we thank you, Lord Jesus. You are the King. We honor you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thanks for joining us this morning. Don't forget to grab one of these, a devotion for this week coming. And also, Sunday school class will begin at 10:15 in those respective classes. God bless you. May the Lord bless you today and give you an awesome, awesome afternoon. Service tonight will begin at 6 o'clock.